The following is a recording for Raphael Borja with iAdvise on Tuesday, May 20th, 2014, at 10 o'clock a.m. Central Time. Good morning, and welcome to Mincer's first quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Raphael Borja of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mincer's first quarter 2014 earnings conference call. This morning, Mincer's senior management team will discuss the company's first quarter 2014 consolidated results per the press release distributed on Friday, May 16. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. Please note that during this call, management's comments may include forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions that may differ materially from actual results. We ask that you refer to this disclaimer as guidance on these matters. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Juan Luis Gruber, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Alvaro Ocio, Chief Financial Officer. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Gruber will begin his presentation. Mr. Gruber, please go ahead.
Hello.
Mm-hmm. Please go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on Mincer's conference call in which we will review our performance for the first quarter of 2014. I will begin with an overview of the main highlights that drove our results during the first quarter of 2014, followed by a description of our results by operation. I will then briefly share some insight on our current projects and conclude with the recent events before turning the call over to Alvaro, who will review the financial performance. At the end, we will open the floor for any questions that you may have. First quarter of 2014 was a solid quarter, although with certain challenges. In the first quarter of 2014, Mincer strengthened its effective diversification with Cucamarca's second year of production. We showed a remarkable improvement at Pitinga in Brazil, achieved higher overall refined tin production, including both our Pisco and Pirapora smelters, and reduced inventories, which resulted in greater overall sales volume. However, during the quarter, we faced unexpected production setbacks at our Pirapora smelter, without which the result would have been even stronger. In all, total consolidated sales reached $334 million during first quarter 14, a decrease of 3% compared to the same quarter previous year, while the mining segment reached $245 million in revenue, an increase of 6% compared to Q1 2013. Consolidated adjusted EBITDA reached $118 million, a 6% decline compared with the same period of the previous year, while the mining segment reached $109 million, a decrease of 10% compared to Q1 2013. It is very important to mention that EBITDA reflected a significant increase in exploration expenses, primarily associated with investments in the Marcobre project, which, if excluded, would have resulted in the mining segment reaching an EBITDA of $127 million, slightly higher with that obtained in Q1 2013. Moving on to individual operational mining performance, let's begin with San Rafael and Pisco. Mining of narrower veins at San Rafael continues, and as a result, all grades set to the plant have decreased. However, we expect them to stabilize going forward. To mitigate this, we're actively advancing our efforts in optimizing the mining method in order to minimize dilution and control head grades. Despite these challenges, mine production at San Rafael was up 5% for the quarter, while the Pisco smelter production increased by 21% as a result of a plant reduction of inventories. Cash cost was up 9%, primarily due to increased exploration efforts to identify new mineralization and extend mine life, investing in Q1 2014 $2.4 million, almost twice than in the previous year. Moving on to Pucamarca, Minsur's gold mine in Peru, during the first quarter, production reached 28,400 ounces, a 5% decrease compared to the first quarter 2014, but in line with the current mine plan. It is worth noting that Pucamarca remains one of the lowest cash cost producers in the industry. Cash cost for the first quarter of 2014 was $314 per ounce, 37% less than in first quarter 2013, as the cost associated to pre-treating of the mine were reported in Q1 last year. Also, we significantly increased recovery in Q1 2014, reaching 67% in the first quarter. Now moving to Pitinga and Pirapora in Taboca, Brazil. Clean mine production reached 1,432 metric tons, which represents a 41% increase versus the same period of the prior year, mainly due to higher ore tonnage treated and improved recoveries. However, this higher clean mine production at Pitinga did not materialize as increased refined clean production at Pirapora, where the smelter production was 42% lower than the first quarter of 2013. This was mainly due to the scheduled stoppage of Pirapora's operations during January in order to build up a safety stock to be consumed throughout the year, and to an unscheduled stoppage during February as a result of a power transformer failure. We expect to recover the production loss throughout the remaining part of the year. Niobium and tantalum alloy production at Pitinga reached 584 tons, a decrease of 27% compared to the first quarter of 2013, mainly explained by a programmed maintenance stoppage at the smelter in Pitinga. Despite these adverse production impacts, Pitinga and Pirapora accomplished outstanding operational performance, which resulted in a 19% decrease of the cash cost to $20,270 per ton of tin, and as a consequence, increased EBITDA by 149% to $2.2 million. Our goal is to continue with this trend and to increase the operations efficiency and economies of scale going forward. At Pitinga, we commissioned the development of a feasibility study to improve the mine infrastructure and to expand the capacity from approximately 670 tons per hour in 2013 to 800 tons per hour in the first phase, with an optimized plant infrastructure and layout. Although this does not represent a significant increase in installed capacity, it will help increase production through higher recovery, greater efficiency, and achieve greater economies of scale, further reducing the cash cost per ton. During the quarter, we will continue to advance the development of the Macobre project pre-feasibility study, and with an aggressive drilling campaign that will ensure we take these deposits to a maximum potential. In addition to these efforts, the company keeps working on the pre-feasibility study of the San Rafael tailings project. Last but not least, during the first quarter of 2014, Minsur increased its exploration expenses, almost tripling the investment on the previous year, reflecting the aggressive exploration campaign in our existing operations. In summary, the first quarter of 2014, we had a strong performance and showed improvements in our operations in spite of certain challenges, which at the end resulted in positive financial results. That concludes my overall comments, and I will now turn the call over to Mr. Alvaro Osio, our Chief Financial Officer, who will review the financial performance of the period.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. I will review the financial highlights for the first quarter of 2014, and then we will move on to the Q&A session. On a consolidated basis, revenues decreased by 3% in the first quarter of 2014, reaching $344 million. While adjusted EBITDA decreased by 6%, reaching close to $118 million in the first quarter of 2014. The mining division was the main contributor, representing 92% of the total adjusted EBITDA generation, and is therefore the segment I will focus on during today's conference call. Net sales in the mining segment reached $245 million, an increase of 6% versus the same quarter of 2013, in spite of lower tin and gold prices, minus 6% for tin and minus 21% for gold. This increase in sales was primarily due to overall tin sales, which reached 8,639 tons, an increase of 18% compared to the tin volume sold in the first quarter of 2013, resulting from increased production at Pisco following a planned reduction of concentrate inventories. We expect to continue reducing inventories throughout this year. In addition to this, sales volume of gold ounces increased by 6% compared to the first quarter of 2013. Gross profit in the mining segment reached $126 million, a 2% increase as a consequence of improved sales during the first quarter, partially offset by higher cost of sales from inventory liquidation and the continuing diamond drilling and exploration meters campaign efforts at San Rafael. Administrative expenses during the first quarter of 2013 remained fairly in line with those obtained in the same period of the previous year. We remain committed to cost reduction plans. Also, during the period, we increased exploration expenses in the mining division by close to 200%, primarily as a result of advancing studies at Marcobre at our Mina Justa project, and the aggressive exploration campaign near our current operation. Exploration expenses totaled $18.1 million in the first quarter of 2013, versus $6.2 million in the first quarter of 2013. Just as a reminder, exploration activities within the current operating footprint, also called in-mine exploration, are accounted for as cost of sales, which is part of the cost of production. Exploration outside of the current operating footprint is accounted for as exploration expense. The Marcobre project continues undergoing pre-feasibility studies, and we expect more drilling to take place. It is still early to provide further details regarding the project, and we will update the market as information becomes available. As a result of the previous figures, the Insur reached adjusted EBITDA of $108.6 million in the mining segment, a decrease of 10% with respect to the prior year. Representing a 44% EBITDA margin. It is important to note that excluding the exploration expenses, which, as I just mentioned, were significantly higher than the ones obtained in the first quarter of 2013, we have presented an adjusted EBITDA of $137 million, which is in line with the first quarter of 2013 figures. This reflects the operational improvements in our operations that Juan Luis discussed earlier. In terms of net profit, our mining division reached close to $50 million, a decrease of 14% when compared to the prior year. This decline is partially a result of the higher exploration expense. In terms of liquidity, the mining segment ended the first quarter of 2015 with $556 million of debt and $471 million in cash. This resulted in a 1.4 times debt-to-EBITDA ratio, or 0.1 times on a net basis. In summary, the company registers a strong financial performance in the first quarter of 2014, even after including aggressive exploration and Marcobre project expenses. Before opening up the call for questions, I would like to briefly touch upon our bond issuance. On February 7, 2014, we completed a 10-year, $450 million international bond issuance under Rule 144A and Regulation F of the U.S. Securities Act, at a coupon rate of 6.25%. The transaction was completed below par, resulting in a net collection of $442 million. The funds were partially utilized to prepay a $200 million 3-year term loan with Bank of Nova Scotia, leaving us, as of the end of February, with $443 million in cash. These funds in cash will allow the insurer to support future investment requirements. This concludes our presentation. Thank you for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Yes, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the 1 key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, just press star 2. Please try to limit your questions to one at a time. Again, to ask a question, please press star 1. And our first question comes from Daniela Savoia with J.P. Morgan.
Hi, Juan Luis Alvaro. Good morning. I was wondering if you could give us an update on your outlook for both the tin and gold prices for the rest of the year or the dynamics of the two industries. Thank you.
Thank you for the question, Daniela. Unfortunately, we don't give price outlooks and price forecasts. We actually believe that the market drives prices, and we're really focused on what we can really control and manage ourselves, namely our production and costs. However, I do have to say that on a personal basis, the tin industry is really looking very strong from a fundamental perspective. There was a pretty recent report submitted by ITRI, the International Tin Research Institute, which showed that the market was in deficit in 2013 and that it will continue to be very tight going forward. As per this report, they were looking at prices reaching $25,000 a ton in 2014 and going all the way up to around $30,000 to $40,000 a ton by 2016 or 17. Again, I'm just quoting public market research reports done by ITRI quite recently. We just came back from a biannual conference in Penang, Malaysia last week. This is an ITRI biannual event where all of the tin mine producers and main consumers meet every 2 years. And the outlook for the industry is pretty coincident with what the report submitted by ITRI was showing, namely that the tin industry will continue to be a supply-constrained industry with quite a big chunk of production coming from informal artisanal miners out of mainly Indonesia and Malaysia. And with that, and a continuous growth in demand, mainly driven by electronics consumption, we should expect the market to be tight into the coming years. In terms of gold, I think gold has a completely different dynamic, and I really believe that whoever tells you that they can make an educated guess on where the gold price is going to be, probably it's not going to end up where this person or these people are telling you, because I think gold is extremely difficult to predict. But we do believe that the market will continue to be quite volatile. And personally, I think that somewhere between 1,200 and 1,400 range is manageable to what we believe. The most important thing in the gold industry and in our involvement in gold is that, and the same in tin, is that our operations, both in tin and gold, are the lowest cost operations in the world, I think, today. And that tells us that at whatever price the market prices these metals, we are going to be there on a very sustainable and long-term fashion.
Great. Thanks for all your insight.
You're welcome.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. And our next question comes from Hector Calantes with Credicorp Capital.
Hello, good morning. Thanks for the conference. I was interested in asking about San Rafael operation. My question deals with the change in mining method. I remember you were saying that because of narrow vein mining, long hole drilling was part of the explanation of perhaps the increasing cost, but there is also more exploration. So I just wanted to know your views on What can be attributable to the changing mining costs? I refer to the method, and what of the cost increase could be more attributable because of the exploration, just to gauge the importance of those two issues.
Okay, thank you for the question, Hector. If I understood correctly your question, because we have some issues with the audio here, what you want is a breakdown of the cost increase in terms of how much of it was attributable to exploration, how much to the narrower veins and the mining method. Around 60% of our cost increase is related to exploration in Q1. It accounts for more than $350 per ton of tin. We increased exploration to $2.4 million at San Rafael in Q1. That's almost double what we had in the previous year. And the remaining cost increase is mainly related to the fact that we're mining narrower veins as we speak.
Thank you very much. And just to follow up on that question, regarding the recent increase in reserves and resources, and also the delineation on the tailing dams, I was just curious to just get the facts right, whether all the increase came from, let's say, new areas, or some parts of the reserve or resources increases came from what used to be part of the tailing dams project, or perhaps the Bofedaldo of the tailing dams is still a stand-alone project.
We're having trouble in hearing the questions, but I understand that you're asking the increase on resources that we reported at the beginning of the year, if it came basically from the mine or from the tailings. And we report the two stocks, you know, apart. There's a significant increase in the mine. We did a significant and aggressive exploration campaign last year, so there was a significant increase in resources in the mine, and as well in Boferral, which is the tailings dam. This is not, just to complement what Alvaro was saying, the increase in resources and reserves is not coming from areas outside the current mine. It's mainly coming from areas within the mine, and actually within the levels that we are currently mining at San Rafael. This is just a reflection of how underexplored or underdrilled San Rafael has been previous to 2013, where we basically increased drilling very significantly to more than 48,000 meters drilled last year, and a further increase should be expected in the drill meters of infill drilling this year as well. The tailings deposit is just a parallel stock of resources that we have reported for the first time that account for to close to 80,000 tons of contained tin. I don't know if that answers your question, Hector. Sorry, because we're having trouble hearing your question.
It's okay. Thank you very much. It was very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Our next question comes from Mark Pomper with MEAG.
You spoke about the biannual conference and kind of developments in tin and kind of the constructive outlook that seems to be in place for tin. Can you give a sense as to are there any? It seems like the growth is coming from, you know, very small scale developments as opposed to any kind of large mines. Are there any material mines away from yourself that are being developed in the tin space?
No, not really, and I think that is the reason why it's a tin is a supply-constrained industry. There are a few of interesting characteristics of our industry. The first one is that it is supply-constrained because if prices, let's say, double tomorrow, the industry will not be able to keep up production to produce more. We are basically selling everything that is produced every year, and on the other hand, what is interesting as well is that the cost, the implication or the weight of tin in the overall cost structure of the end product that used tin is extremely low. But the point I'm trying to make is that if prices double, there will not be as well a reduction in demand, because even at double current prices, the overall impact of the cost of tin, let's say in an iPhone, an iPad, or any electronic, just to put an example, not to mention car components, etc., is extremely low. So that's a very particular characteristic of the industry, given that there haven't been new significant or sizable discoveries in the exploration work done in the industry. We believe that the industry will continue to be quite tight going into the future in terms of supply growth.
That's great. And as far as the timing that goes, so you are just simply happy enough with the current economics that you're just going to produce what you have, and so you're not sort of withholding supply in any way, shape, or form?
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Just in terms of the as opposed to you're essentially producing pull out as opposed to trying to hold supply off the market to try to further ratchet up pricing. There's no you're currently at essentially full production.
No, we're currently at full production, and we will continue to invest heavily both in exploration capital and capex, growth capex, to sustain and ramp up our production profiles, hopefully in the coming years as our Bofedal project comes into play, and as the expansion projects in Pitinga start also coming into play. Obviously, these are mid to long-term projects still, because they are both at pre-feasibility stage.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. There are currently no further questions in the queue, so I would like to turn the call over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
Thank you very much. I just wanted to thank everybody who has dialed in to the call, and we look forward to the next quarterly results conference call, and hope to keep going on the same trend in terms of operating and financial performance. Thank you.